Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to IRFC Q2 FY 2025-26 and half-year result earnings call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Parth Jariwala from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Finance Corporation Limited. From the management, we have with us Shri Manoj Kumar Dubey, Chairman, Managing Director, and CEO, and Shri Randhir Sahay, Director of Finance and CFO. Without further ado, I shall hand over the call to Shri Manoj Kumar Dubey for his opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Very good morning, Parth, and very good morning to all of our friends who are there on con call. We are here once again to celebrate the remarkable path IRFC has charted, a journey that grows deeper every day in connecting with lives of a wide base of India, having more than 55 lakh shareholders also. Because in every project that we finance, every rupee that we mobilize, it is the pulse of India's people that moves. And we are humbled to fuel their aspirations also. So, friends, a warm and hearty welcome to the IRFC con call after publishing our quarter two results for FY 2025-26. I'm joined today with my colleagues, as already told, my CFO and Director of Finance, Mr. Randhir, also my Head of Accounts, Head of Business Development, and a few more HODs who are there into the apex team. In quarter two FY 2025-26, as you all know, we delivered a PAT of nearly rupees 1,780 crores, marking more than 10% growth, while H1 profit touched rupees 3,523 crores, again a double-digit leap vis-à-vis last H1 highest ever, which is highest ever in the IRFC journey. Our net worth has touched the record more than 56,000 crores with the EPS of ₹5.39. Our AUM has shown the reverse trend now, that is the upward trend from this quarter onwards, and we hope that this upward trend remains steady and grows further and further. IRFC has really showcased the power of strategic diversification that we embarked upon, even without new allocations from Indian Railways for the third consecutive year. What makes this growth remarkable is the nine-fold increase in our new business agreements that we signed. In fact, 36,000 crores of agreements were signed within 3 days of the last 4 days of this H1, that is between 26th to 29th of September, touching nearly more than 45,000 crores in H1 for the sectors like renewable energy, transmission, coal mining, and industrial infrastructure, etc. It gives me immense pride to share that IRFC continues to script new chapters of financial excellence. Our NIM, which was in last FY standing at 1.42%, has now improved to 1.55% by the end of H1. This shows that our planning of going for diversification and for the assets where there are better margins are already reflecting in our NIM. Alongside this achievement, as we grow in our PAT and we do good, we need to reward our shareholders also. So the board has declared a record-breaking interim dividend of ₹1.05 per share, ₹1.05, further reinforcing the trust and confidence of our shareholders. Though all of this, IRFC maintains a zero NPA record, a rare hallmark, and the kind of business that we are picking up in diversification also, we intend to maintain our unblemished record of zero NPA. This stands as a testimony of our resilience, risk discipline, and the trust that we command across the ecosystem. In the coming quarters, IRFC will continue to expand its footprint in renewable energy, logistics, port, any metro transportation on rail, and allied sectors. As India accelerates towards an infrastructure in Asia, IRFC is future-ready with clear ambition to deepen our diversification, not just for the railway directly, but for the India's developmental vision at large, keeping railway at the center. Thank you all, and we are ready for the question answer session. Over to you, Parth.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use headset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Vikas Kasturi from Focus Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, sir. Wish you a very happy Diwali and congratulations on a fantastic quarter. Sir, my question is, historically, we have been, say, giving loans to the Indian Railways, right? And there we did not require much human capital in the form of to do things like sales, underwriting, collections, etc., right? So how are you approaching this challenge, sir, with respect to building this human capital when you're going outside the realm of Indian Railways? That is my only question, sir.
Well, that's a very good question that you put up. And it shows that you are very happy on the part of deliverance of the company and you are worried, rightly worried, like me, for the human resource that has to propel this growth. So, as you know, the sweet spot for me as a CMD is the fact that since the team was stronger, we have to choose the right kind of people. So we are choosing right kind of people, the best of the talents that are available in the ecosystem. We have added a few experts from the railways on deputation. We've also taken lateral entry from various sister CPSEs. And of course, when we're choosing now and the kind of buzz that my company has created, your company has created, we are attracting best of the talents. And your question is bang on for the fact that borrowing side of this company was very strong. We never did business development outside railways. So now my business development team is headed by a very seasoned senior guy from NTPC background. We have got other verticals also in place. And we have got mentors and risk management officers from the ecosystem, people who have done more than 35 years of service in NBFC parlays. I don't want to name the companies, but yes, we have roped in veterans as consultants on long-term basis, as well as our Motley team has grown by 50% now. From 40-odd, we have nearly 60, and we want to grow by attracting best of the talents. And in normal parlays, as common understanding goes, that only the private sector picks up the best of talent. So we are kind of setting up a system where we should excel and should be at par, if not better than any of the private or public player in the ecosystem. And that is what we are striving for going forward. I hope I have answered you.
Yes. All right. Thank you, sir. And wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Hardi Jain from Investec. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. I'm Alex.
Yes, hello. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Good morning. And first of all, very much congratulations for your event. I have a few questions for you. Like on PPT. In PPT, there's the 11. I want to understand what is the difference between in sanction limit and agreement limit. As you have written for NTPC BOBR, that you have sanctioned 700 crores but signed the agreement of 252. So wanted to understand that what's the difference between that.
So my BD head, Mr. Suni, will answer the question.
Yeah.
Generally, we follow a process and we receive a credit proposal from our bank. We receive a proposal from the entity and we take it to our board. Board gives us credit approval.
Sir, can you repeat? Yeah, sir. Actually, sir, I'm sitting at very silent place.
Am I audible, ma'am?
Yeah, now you are audible.
Ma'am, generally we follow a process that we take a approval, credit approval from my board, and my board gives me a sanction for that particular lending. And after that, we have to execute a transaction document. So we are saying that with NTPC, my board has given a sanction for 700 crore, and we have executed the transaction document 250 crore, and for remaining amount, it yet to be executed. And for other things, as CMD sir has appraised you regarding this 45,000, this is what we have already sanctioned, and a transaction document has been executed for the same. And there are certain transactions for which we have got the sanction from our board, and their document is yet to be executed.
So just to summarize this for your understanding. This out of 700 crore, 200 crore agreement has been signed for credit, and for other 45,000 crore also agreement has been signed.
Okay, understood. So I have one another question also. If I want to understand that what is the financing opportunity that, like for railways? What you are expecting?
Is it a client or railway ecosystem?
No, actually I am expecting that. I want to understand time of your time of the financing opportunity, whether it is going to be upstream or downstream for railway.
No, for the ecosystem it has to be upstream only. We have already we have got a good pipeline, so going ahead,
okay,
things will be upstream.
Understood. And wanted to know that what is your planning for human resource for infrastructure transactions in future?
I think you heard the first question I answered, or I have to repeat it again?
No, actually I missed a few points. That's why.
So we are looking for the best of human resource in the all of the areas except borrowing, where we are very strong. We have already added around 20 odd very good talent from the railways on deportation, as well as from the other sibling companies on lateral basis. We have added many consultants also, and going forward also, as the need arises, we will be looking for the best of the class executives in the system with us.
Okay,
yeah.
Understood. And
while doing everything, we still want to be having our overheads at the minimum.
Okay, understood. And may I know that what are your expectations for the disbursement and AUM growth for next quarter?
I think if you know my guidance, if you are following us, we have given a guidance of 30,000 crore disbursement in this FY. Now the pipeline is there. We have already done 7,000 crore. Q3 will be doing additional maybe 10 to 15,000 crore. And whatever rest is there, we are very confident that we will be doing it in fourth quarter. So 30,000 crore disbursement guidance is pretty much intact.
Okay, understood. And one last question is there from my side.
So many comments.
I want to understand that whether you guys are doing project financing on milestone basis, and if you are doing on milestone basis, then wanted to understand that what are the timelines for such project completion of such projects?
Yes, ma'am. We are doing based on the milestone, and whenever we do the credit proposal, we ask from the prospective borrower achieving the COD, and based on their first based on that, we are working and we are appraising the thing.
Okay. So any of the
thank you, ma'am. You have asked many, so let's move to a new question.
Okay. Hello.
Your Parth.
Thank you so much.
Parth, some noise was coming. Was it coming from that girl side or from where?
Sir, it's coming from your end, sir.
No, my end is, sir, it's absolutely... White. The first question went off fine, but after that, in the second question, there was a lot of noise.
Yes, now it's not, now I can see the loud and clear. Maybe it's from the girl side, from Hardy.
Go ahead.
Perfect. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. The next question is from the Rishi Maheshwari from Aksa Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Sir, congratulations on a good set of numbers. We wish to understand, you know, given the cost of deposit would be coming lower for you, is that the rate processing has already been done, or do you think there is further scope of rates which will come down and therefore give any higher boost to the towards our NII?
You see, since we are not directly linked with the repo system, so repo is a benchmark. We generally land with a benchmark of AAA plus PSU lending rates. So, you know, typically we use to do business with 40 basis margin with the railways on cost plus model. The new diversification model that we are working on, despite being very competitive, what our experience in the last H1 with around 10 clients where we mopped up around 45,000 crore, more than 50,000 crore, in fact, you take the three quarters. So our rates are 2x to 3x in terms of margins, which is reflecting in our NIM also. So NIM is continuously growing. From last FY, it was 1.4, now it is 1.55. And going forward, we believe that with the diversification and the outside Indian Railways asset that we are coming to our kitty, despite the fact that we are competing with the banks also for the quality assets right now, going forward, our NIMs will be showing a better margin.
Good to know, sir. So given that, you know, I'm trying to understand the risk elements over here outside the railway business, given that, you know, large part of it is wholesale business that you're doing outside railways also. And there the competition will be pretty stiff. Now, with that in mind, you know, so far there have been no delinquencies, and that's a remarkable thing. But given the future, given that you are moving into uncharted territory, how do you perceive delinquency stages coming, you know, if about a year later or 2 years later? What is your opinion on that?
So you see that, I mean, you really nailed the question, what we discuss almost every week in our boardroom. So just to give a flavor and confidence to all my shareholders, we have embarked on whole of government approach. So the only difference right now in my clientele is I'm not only limiting myself to Indian Railways, but there are many ministries and the state governments who are doing business, including CPSE. I'll give a flavor. My first four assets came from NTPC. Now I don't have to speak about NTPC. They are AAA rated asset and their subsidiaries are also that well rated. So if I'm funding to NTPC, you and I both know that what kind of risk I'm going to have. Second flavor, maybe we funded one joint venture promoted by GAIL, Coal India and Rashtriya Chemical. Now to our Maharatnas having such strong balance sheet, you can perceive the kind of risk that we can think about them. Almost nil risk. Similarly, we are funding to those GenCos who are having a link with railways and they are very strong. So we have right now with our very low overhead cost and very competitive rates, spoiled choices to pick up which asset within government I want to pick up. So going forward, since we are only lending to the entities who are in the whole of government ecosystem, we don't perceive any kind of risk so far as our lending is concerned. Yes, it is not directly sovereign as it used to be in Indian Railways, but the kind of clientele that I mentioned to you, we have lended to an entity which is promoted by my siblings, Concor and RVNL and Government of Orissa. So you can think about their solvency also. So with cherry picking of the best of the CPSE, best of the government, state governments where balance sheet and their entities are having a very robust kind of cash flow, we believe that within the whole of government approach concept, we have almost zero risk of having any NPA. And that is what is driving us to work within the government ecosystem itself.
Right, sir. So my fundamental question to understand that was that given that 6.5-7% is the cost of funds, the rates at which you are doling out will give you a fairly thin spread in terms of going ahead. Now, that would obviously mean that you've got to keep your overheads at a very, very stringent numbers. It's difficult to expand from that perspective. If at all, you have to move, unless you want to move into some of the riskier elements. Is the business model continuing in the future, the business model continuing to remain the same way that you will only, disburse to such entities which are quasi government owners? Therefore, the risk will be extremely low and the idea will be to lower the cost of funds as much as possible.
So you understand the business model. We started with a margin of 40 bps that we used to have with the railway, the single client. My NIM stood at 1.4 for so many years. The peers that you're talking about, they were working in the arena of 2.5 to 3% of NIM. And of course, they were having risky assets also in their kitty. The kind of thin margin that you mentioned to us, for us, getting a margin of 100 bps or 120 bps is coming out to be three times of margins that I used to have for donkey number of years. So you may feel that 100 bps margin or 120 bps margin is a small margin compared to the peers. But for us, going for a very quality asset in the government with absolutely zero risk quotient, getting a margin from 40 bps to 120 bps, we are very pretty happy with the kind of impact it will have, a positive impact it will have on our PAT. I think that will be a great thing for shareholders also when they see their PAT growing steadily without any risk. So the thin margin concept that you are mentioning, we are finding very happy getting a margin of 2x to 3x from what we used to get from the railway. And that is where we are differentiating ourselves as a product compared to other peers and the banks.
Fair enough, sir. I completely get your line of thoughts and I think...
I'll add one more thing through you to all the people who are going to read my con call. You know, when we started venturing outside the railways, we were used to earn 40 bps. And obviously, it is a zero NPA risk kind of thing. You know, none of the government entities have faltered any day, best of the entities, including the state governments in the last 70 years. But while funding to them, lending to them, we found that every private or public entity were adding premium to their lending with kind of more percentage. So, the funding to government entities also in this country used to be very high. Putting numbers, you are more aware than me. Nobody was getting a loan less than 9% in the ecosystem we found. We are very happy, as you mentioned, our cost of capital 6.5 to 7. We are very happy lending them with a margin of 100 bps, 120 bps. As it's a very good margin when you are finding that the risk is nearly zero for these kind of assets. What we are doing right now and why businesses are running and coming to our office without ourselves going and marketing ourselves is the fact that there is a lot of appetite in the capex for the government parlays. You know, 70% of the India's capex is coming from the government parlays. They never had thought that somebody will be lending to them in and around 8% or 8.2% kind of thing. So we are playing an art of, and our competitors, including the banks, are coming to art of. And in result, we believe that we are doing a good thing for the nation by bringing out a quality kind of funding at a very competitive rate to the government sector also. And that is perhaps what is the need of ours.
Sure. So then this is largely a volume game where you will be actually based on your growth. Therefore, the absolute number of NII will keep on growing and risk-free growth that we will more or less see. So, sir, what is this year? We know you've already spoken about the disbursement. What about next year? How do you perceive the growth for next year?
But the kind of queries and the response we are getting, Rishi. In fact, I have to double or triple the size of my BD team because we are yet to go every nook and corner of this country. We are flooded with requests from almost all states of the country. And because they now know that through all of you that we are lending to the railway ecosystem, and there is hardly anybody in the government system who is not having any linkage with the railways. Looking forward for, I think, I'm finally there for next 5 years or so, or more, maybe a decade, we'll be really flooded with the kind of businesses. What we need to do is, for the confidence of all my shareholders, we need to do the cherry-picking for the asset quality within government also. That is why we're putting a system in place with very seasoned team, with new professionals also. This mix of team will have a job to see through the government proposals also, as we are very, very conscious of maintaining our zero NPA, with a philosophy of making 2x-3x margin of what we used to get from the railways. I think this mixture is going to give a very good result and return for our shareholders, because there won't be anything cyclical. I can only perceive with my experience and tell you that next year and year next to that, we'll be having an upward trend in terms of our asset also, in terms of our PAT also.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you so much. Wish you great luck. I think, with this kind of rigor and discipline, I'm sure the growth will be phenomenal. And, well, the last question, sir, is that in this model, I do not see a risk for dilution in the business, because the current equity, the current profits itself will fuel the growth. Am I right, or at some point in time, you see-
You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. You know, after paying highest ever dividend, interim dividend of 1.05 rupee, we are still pretty happy with our CRAR, we are Tier 1 capital. So that is the beauty, Rishi, that we are having, with the grace and the best wishes of more than 55 lakh shareholders of this company. That the ingredients that has been given to this management is top class. Based on that ingredients, what this management will deliver is a top-class result to the shareholders, without having any kind of risk appetite. And the business is there. As I mentioned to you, 70%, I mean, this misnomer is there, that the growth is being fueled by the private sector. CapEx of this country, not only this year, looking at national infrastructure pipeline for decades and more, the CapEx-
Ladies and gentlemen, the management line has been disconnected. Please stay connected while I connect them again. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead, sir. You were saying-
I think we have summarized, Rishi. We can go ahead to other gentlemen.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. I'll all the best, sir. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Our next question is from the line of Srivatsa Raghu from Travis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Continuing on the previous question, most of my questions have been answered, but one risk I foresee is we presently do not pay any MAT on our profits, because we have got an exemption in 2020. Do you, is that one of the risks where maybe it can come back in the future?
So let my BD head answer this question.
Because we as of now, around 3,000 crore of unabsorbed depreciation is still with me, for which I can take benefit in future year. And apart from that, because of our business model, we have a project asset funding of 2 and a half lakh crore, for which a lease agreement yet to be executed. And these assets would get capitalized in coming years, and against which I'll have a good amount of depreciation in my balance in my P&L in coming years. So we don't foresee, in the next 5 to 7 years, there would be any MAT liability on us. There is a good reasonable assurance from for next 5 to 7 years that this liability would not come, because of the business model and because of the unabsorbed depreciation level we have as of now.
Okay. The second question is, because now you said we are flooded with opportunity, I just want to know, with the present framework what we have, is it ever possible that we can grow our loan book by something like 20% or something like that? Is it possible?
You're talking about AUM or year-to-year loan book growth?
Year-to-year loan book growth.
Obviously, obviously. Now, you see, when I was speaking in the beginning of the quarter, with all coercing from the TV channels, I came out with numbers. Generally, we should not come out with numbers. So we gave a number of 60,000 crore asset to be taken by signing agreements, and disbursement was 30,000 crore that we wanted to disburse. But going forward, with the kind of, as you rightly mentioned, we are actually flooded with the requests. We feel that looking at the prospects of the government, as government has come out with the papers about the GDP growth and everything, next 5 to 10 years, I mean, we'll have upward trajectory not only in AUM but in the PAT also. So that these two numbers which really matter for the investors and the shareholders, this company we perceive and we feel that there is absolute clarity that assets will be growing. 20% number that you are giving, I'm not putting any number of CAGR, but I can assure you that the kind of queries we are getting, and as I mentioned in the last con call also, that you know, we are the single financier for the Indian Railways, and their appetite is more than 2.5 lakh crore every year. Right now, for the last 3 years, they are getting everything from government budgetary support. But you know, in the government, when the budget comes, there are more than 30 ministries who are competing for the budgetary support from the government. Today, Railways is getting, tomorrow they may not get the full thing. So, what we have planned and perceived that the diversified loan books that we are creating, that will be our real cake, because here the margins and the NIM is 2 to 3x of what I'm getting from the Railways. And the cherry on the cake will be the business that will be coming from the Railways. The beauty of this cherry is, whatever business I get, it is disbursed in the same year. And this is risk-free. So in RBI parlance also, while calculating CR, AR, the Railways disbursement will have zero risk. So that will further strengthen my already industry best CR, AR. And business will be growing. I don't put any number on that of CAGR, but yes, I'm very confident along with the whole team that going forward, every year our AUM should grow. Every year, every quarter my PAT should grow. And the growth of PAT, I've already spoken in the morning on the TV channels that we have given as a target that our PAT annually and quarterly should grow in double digit. That is what we are striving for.
Thanks. It's really great to hear you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Our next question is from the line of Ramakrishna Neeti from Zenvent Wealth Management Service Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just have a couple of questions. Now that IRFC is starting on the journey to diversify aggressively outside of the railways, I mean, to the sectors linked to the railways, do you have any caps within this non-railway segment, you know, like, you know, of the total disbursement for the AM, like what could be the percentage caps that you would have, you know, beyond which you would not lend to this segment? You know, when you have mentioned state governments and also some of the state governments where there are some health, fiscal health concerns. So if you can just share some light on this. And the second point is, I'm sorry, I have missed your initial comment. I mean, I just wanted to understand the current AUM breakup between railway and non-railway segments, and in the future, where do you intend to keep it? And
hello,
I'm done with me.
Yeah, I'm just, one very long question. So I have forgotten what you asked in the beginning. It was such a long question.
You want me to repeat?
Just a flavor of that. What did you want to
yeah, hear? Do you have any internal caps with respect to percentage?
Got it. So the sweet spot for this company is there is no cap for any segments. So per se, theoretically, I can have 100% of my AUM from the railway ecosystem on diversification. Now, where's the limitation? Limitation comes from the RBI guidelines. Answer to your question specific is, RBI has made a mandate for everybody that 30%.
30% for a single entity.
30% of my net worth.
For a single entity?
For a single entity. So today my net worth is nearly 55,000 crore. So you can put 30% number. So one client or one state, I cannot do more than that. So that is a cap from RBI. And for a group of the company, it is 50%. So if you take NTPC and take all the subsidiaries together, I can fund them up to 50% of my net worth, which should be around typically 25,000 plus crore for one entity. I think that is a huge number. And now that our muscle is growing every year, our net worth is growing every year in terms of more than 4,000 crore. So going forward, I don't find any problem. Our debt equity ratio has also cooled down to near to 7. So overall, we are sitting in a very sweet spot. We can look to that is the thing that we have no exposure to anybody except railways. So next 5 years of time, we are in a very good position that anybody with a good asset is coming to us, we are there to cater to them. And second thing, as you mentioned, that bifurcation. So right now, you can add total AUM is 4.6 lakh crore. Out of that, disbursement has started. So slowly, slowly but surely, the target is that in next 5 years, we should have a mix of 75-25. That is, 75% should be from the railways, and 25% should come from the diversified thing. And let us see how things unfold in coming year.
Sure. This helps. Thank you.
Thank you. Number is all there.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. Reminder to all the participants, for asking a question, you may press star and one. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
So thank you, Parth. This is a pre-Diwali con call that we are finishing. We were extremely busy for, say, last 1 week after closing the quarter two with the preparation of results and doing it. As we discussed with the people who came on the con call, we are all driven by the fact that we are going in the right direction. And future ahead, we'll continue doing the good work that we're doing. And thank you to DAM for organizing this con call. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.